Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We'll tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. I'm excited about having Rick Meyer back on the show. You know who Rick is. Rick is one of our top change agents, one of our top change experts. He's one of the guys who helps us deal with change in our business and understand that it's not just something that's been going on for thousands of years, which it has been. But now the difference is the velocity of change. It's not just the change itself. We've always been able to deal with change. It's the problem is the velocity of change. And how do you manage all that? How do you build that into the operation of your business to manage it without creating a casualty list? And he helps us with that. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back, Jim.
It's good to be back with you. And folks, his books include Why Don't You Want What I Want, which is something I say all the time around here. And then the other one is Beyond the Wall of Resistance, and that's what I'm trying to get to, beyond that wall, because I get a lot of I get so much resistance around here. Rick, what's been going on lately?
Well, I went to a conference last week. My field is called Organization Development, and there were two people there, Jerry and Monique Sternin, who talked about something called positive deviance, and I found it absolutely captivating. And the notion is that kind of inside an organization, if there's something that we want to do, many times there are pockets of people already doing those things, and if we can learn from them, we now know what will work in our organization. Mm-hmm. What typically happens in an organization is that we train people. Let's say we train people in customer service. And the training goes well, but then the transfer rate from training to actually seeing something on the job just falls off dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And these people started doing their work in a lot of developing nations and now are transferring it to companies in the United States. And can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
There was an issue of malnutrition among children in, I believe it was Guatemala, but I may have the country wrong. And so they said, well, are there instances of poor people where the kids are well-nourished? And they said, oh, yeah, look here. Look at these records. And so they started looking, and the first thing they looked for was, well, the diet must be different. Turns out the diet wasn't different. Not only that, the way they cooked the food wasn't different. And they kept looking and looking, and what they found was that the kids who were malnourished, the parents ladled the soup, it was always a soup, off from the top, thinking, well, these are kids, they really shouldn't be chewing stuff.
Wow.
And in the other instance, they would put the ladle all the way at the bottom, which meant they got all the vegetables and, you know,
wow,
meat. Yeah. And their point was, often these things are right there, and they're right in front of our eyes, and we miss them. And they just went on and on and on. They talked about reducing, I think it's, God, what's it called, MRSA, the thing where you get sick once you're in a hospital. The infection passes on, and hospitals basically have said, look, you can't get any better at it, and we're doing as well as anybody else. And they found that, no, you can get a lot better. And they talked about kind of learning the lessons already there inside your own organization.
Hmm. So what you're saying is that in an organization, there may be, that may not be successful, there may be smaller micro organisms, so to speak, of activity that are being successful, but just it just hasn't been that method, those methods have not been scaled to the point where the whole company can benefit from it.
Exactly. You know, so I can imagine, since a lot of your listeners are small businesses, that maybe there's some pocket of the business that where customer service is just great. I mean, the retention is good, things are going great, and other places where it's not. And you start looking and go, well, you know, you know, things aren't all that different.
Maybe maybe the shipping department could teach the billing department a
exactly.
thing or two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's and they said the one thing they said to be aware of is they said don't look at attitude. They said that's the worst thing to look at. Like, oh, well, it's Sally because she's got a good attitude.
Right.
That you
got to
go, all right, but what's going on there? You know, she might have a good attitude, but behaviorally, what's happening? Because behavior is something you can then show somebody else.
And you know what I've seen? I've seen those little microorganisms inside of businesses that were doing really well be forced to take up the plan or the practices of the rest of the company. And it literally take that little group down.
Oh, yeah.
When they were just happy as little clams, you know, doing things the way they were, and all of a sudden now you're making them do the other way because that's the way the company's decided to do it. You know, so we're going to come back and talk about this. But this is fascinating stuff from my good friend Rick Mara. I expect nothing less from him. 20 Tales, stay with us.
I was a dandy.
Back at 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find our show a lot of different ways. You can listen to it by streaming it, you can podcast it, you can subscribe to it. If you like Rick Mara and you want to make sure you know every time he shows up, then you can subscribe to it, to his place in our brain trust, and every time he shows up, we'll send it to you. That's the way it works. And don't forget to check out the articles. There are thousands of those that have been written by Rick and myself and many other members of my brain trust. Also, our newsletter, you can subscribe to that there. Our blog is there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, which is askjim.biz. Rick is talking to us about this, what do you call it, positive deviance.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it sounds like a name my dad would have called me when I was a kid. Because I was so effective as a deviant, you know. And you know, I was such a wrecking crew, you know, but I was always positive about it, you know.
There you go. That's good. I know. It's a cool little title. But it's the people whose behavior differs from that of other people inside the organization, and
yeah.
It's working. Hey, Jim, you said something really interesting before the break, and I don't want to move on before we explore that further, about how sometimes that group that's doing well is sort of forced
into
the mold.
This is a classic thing. I mean, I've seen this. You've seen it many times before. I've seen this for years, where somebody comes in and you know, we got a business that's kind of doing okay. It's not really, the whole organization is not hitting on all cylinders, but you got certain departments that are doing well, maybe even world class, and a new person comes in, new management, new sheriff in town, and says, okay, we're all going to learn how to do it this way. And you know, they don't even try to find out how people are doing things, you know. And then the next thing you know, the whole company just collapses.
Yeah.
Because the good stuff got thrown out. The good stuff, baby, got thrown out with the bathwater.
Yeah, and that will also happen even without a change of leadership, that if there's one group, which a group might be a couple of people, that are just doing extremely well, like making more deliveries than anybody else,
right?
They get a lot of pressure from the other people to, hey, you know, you're going to get
making
a heart attack, slow
here.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the very opposite of that, that's going in and really finding those places that are just have such a great delivery record or great customer fulfillment.
So maybe what we should do if we want to do our business, get our businesses to work better, instead of going in and finding out what's wrong, go looking for what's right and try to sort of spread that around.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a thing called appreciative inquiry that does just that, and they take a much broader view than what I've just been talking about, saying that, and then their suggestion is you don't ignore problems that are facing you, but we've spent too much time looking for problems and not enough looking for what's working and what can we nourish.
Mm-hmm.
And what these people with positive deviance are saying is their approach is on something really specific, like malnutrition among children, like rate of infection in hospitals. And it's not like overall customer service or overall this, mm-hmm. but a very specific thing. And so that, so it's a really tight
focus. It might be, in the case of a business, it might be limiting back orders.
Yes.
Or improving receivables.
Yeah. And so let's just take that for a minute. So you look around your organization, and you might find that, no, we're really doing that poorly everywhere. In that case, positive deviance wouldn't work because you don't have something to draw on. But when you do have that to draw on, you know, you don't have to go outside. You don't have to have some fancy consultants or something else. You're saying, wow, it's working here. What can we learn from that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard thing as a consultant to say that, but it's
well, and you know something else that you can do. Sometimes some groups do one thing well and others do something else well. It's sort of like if you have some salespeople are great at customer service, but they're not good at closing.
Yep.
Some people are great closers, but they don't treat their customers properly.
Yep.
So you could have them maybe work with each other. What do you think about that?
I think that's great.
I know I'm getting a little elementary here for your yeah. for your what you're talking about, but it could be that simple.
Well, no, I think it's a great thing, and there's what's really helpful about it is then you're not setting up Bill and Sally and Jeff as, well, they're the good kids. They're the ones who do it well.
That right.
They're saying, okay, in this area, closing sales, they really are our experts. Look at the records.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, everything that positive deviance people work on is data-based. So it's not my impression that they're doing better. You're really using
right.
data. So if you get those two groups together and you can say, boy, this group does great with order fulfillment and this group's doing great with da-da-da-da-da, let's look and let's find out why.
But, you know, Rick, another thing is I think Occam's Razor is alive and well in this. You know, Occam's Razor says that basically, yeah. in plain English, the simplest solution is probably the best solution.
Yep.
Most of these people who are the positive deviants, they're not doing a good job because maybe not so much because they want to do a good job as much as they're doing it the simplest way.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just common sense that they're doing. And so, you know, if you try to change them, you're going against the common sense.
That's true. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Jerry Sternin told an interesting story. It's a really old tale about this guy who's a smuggler. I mean, everybody knows.
Hey, Rick, that sounds like a great story, and I want you to have plenty of time to tell it, which we're going to let you do on the other side of these messages, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our good friend Rick Maurer. His book is called Beyond the Wall of Resistance, and the other one is Why Don't You Want What I Want? Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, visiting with our good friend Rick Maurer. Rick, give us your website, please.
Sure, it's www.beyondresistance.com.
And they can find your books there, can't they?
They sure can.
Where else?
Where can they find the books?
Uh-huh.
Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah, the books have been out a while, so they're a little harder to find in
But they're worth
mortar.
The hunt, folks, and it's sort of like going looking for antiques. You know, the hunts have to find. So check that out when you get a chance. I'm so glad to have my two. I'll tell you that you can't have them, ladies and gentlemen, either. You're not going to find these books on eBay or on Amazon as a used book. Rick, you're telling us a story.
It's an old story, and it's about this guy who's. Everybody knows he's a smuggler, and he gets up to the border, and he's got a donkey, and the donkey is just has big bales of straw on it, and the customs agents take all the bales off, and they go through every bit of straw, and they can't find anything, and so they let him go. You know, another week he comes by. He's got a donkey, and he's got, you know, a big load of straw. Once again, they take it off. They look at the saddle. They look at everything. Years and years go by. Same thing, and finally, the customs agent retires, the smuggler retires, the smuggler's wealthy at this point, and they run into each other, and the agent said, look, you know, we're both old men. He said, I can't do anything to harm you anymore. You were smuggling, right? And he said, oh, yes, of course. And he said, we looked everywhere. What were you smuggling? And he said, donkeys. And, and Sternin's point was sometimes the answer is right in front of our eyes. You know, and we get too fancy. You know, so.
That's pretty funny. So, well, exactly. And you know, we spend so much time looking for things that we're trying to find what's wrong with things. You know, maybe there's something right. And also, I mean, imagine bringing in a truck driver to teach the salespeople about customer service. It could happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, as I say, so many people do their work the simplest way, and human beings gravitate toward that, don't they? Not only the person who executes, but the person who's the recipient.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great thought too. That people like it to be simple, not simplistic, but like it to be simple. And it's actually a relief going, oh, I could do it that way. There's, you know, in addition to training, there's one other thing. When they were talking about infection in hospitals, people not washing their hands is a big, big deal. I mean, just absolutely huge. And they found on this one floor, this one nurse wasn't using gloves, and she said, well, I have small hands, and they're always out of the small gloves. And they said, well, why don't you get something? She said, well, the cabinet's always locked, and whoever has the key is never right there. And she said, and I've got a patient. I just can't go looking. So they said, well, certainly you've worked in other parts of the hospital. Are there places where gloves are always in stock? And they said, yeah, on the third floor. And they said, well, maybe it might make sense to look on the third floor. What are they doing? Well, what they were doing is they had one of their candy stripers, one of their volunteers, like 3-4 times a day, just check the stock and make sure that gloves were. I mean, it couldn't have been simpler. It didn't involve.
It's as simple as it gets.
It's as simple as it gets, and doesn't even involve training. It's just like, oh, we could do that.
Right.
You know.
So you know, it's like the old, what was it, the old Napoleon lament? For want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a horse was lost.
Yes.
For want of a horse, a soldier was lost. For want of a soldier, a battle was lost, and so on and so forth, till the war was finally lost.
Yeah.
It could be that simple.
It can be that simple.
And so, you know, here we are, going to all these high-powered, you know, management seminars. When really, is this a case for MBWA, Rick? Management by walking around.
That could help if you know what to look for.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference between management by wandering around, when they talked about, they said don't have an agenda. I mean, just wander around, because it allows people to come to you. And I think that's a great thing to do. It's a wonderful bit of wisdom that doesn't get practiced.
Just sort of wander around like as if you were had never seen this business before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this is saying we have a problem with infection. We have a problem. So it's taking a problem and then as we wander around or as we look around, we're saying, why is it different here on the third floor than on the fourth floor?
Rick, give us that website one more time.
Sure. www.beyondresistance.com.
Good job today. We'll see you next time. Thanks for being
here. Thanks.
Rick Maurer, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. That's Maurer if you're Googling him. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.